Fair. I switched up my routine. I've been doing mornings now.
How's that been going?
Well, it's my first week, and I did an AM workout on what's today? Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
So I did Tuesday morning, and I did this morning. I still tried to been keeping off my knee until I get my MRI on the 7th.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's been all right. I've been doing some lighter weight, kind of trying to do more isolated movements, more lower weight, higher rep. It's been all right though. I did cut my caffeine down to like a third of what it.
Ooh,
like,
look at you go. You're doing great.
I'm trying. It's actually been really nice. Like my I can tell my cortisol levels are dropping like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I've dropped like 6 pounds in like 4 days.
Well, that's nuts. That's pretty good. Also, yeah. It could also be really bad too.
But well, I'm just like,
depending on where it's coming from. But yeah,
I can just tell I'm like way less inflamed, and like even just in my face, like my face doesn't feel as puffy. Like, so it's been nice. I've been trying to stick to that. And, yeah.
That's good. I wish I could go back to work morning workout because I work at 6 a.m. That's like kind of impossible. Wait, did I ever tell you the skunk story?
The skunk story? No.
Oh, okay. This is funny. So this is back in, I think last November. So for some reason, I was like, I guess inspired is the right word to like start running again. You know, as much as I hate running, it was awful. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to get my workouts in. I think it was around the time where, I was just like, I need to start getting back in shape to start like training again. And so I started doing like 4 a.m. runs.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea. But because I knew the longer I put it off, the more likely I wasn't going to run. So the idea was to run at like 4 a.m. Like the second I woke up, the first alarm, just don't hit snooze. Just get up, get out of the bed, just go for a run. And you'll be less likely to complain about it because you're still half awake. So that was the idea. And it worked great for like 2 days. And the problem was on the third morning. So it's like 4:15. I'm like maybe like a quarter mile into this, like, because I usually ran about 2 or 3 miles. Ugh. I'm about like a quarter mile into like the first mile, and it's dark at 4 a.m. because it's like November, so like the light doesn't show up as early as it normally does.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wearing my glasses because it's dark, so it's kind of like pointless. And whenever I sweat, it gets all in the glasses, makes it hard to see anyway. So I'm just like, screw the glasses. So I see this little fuzzy thing in the distance. And I'm thinking it's like a raccoon. So I'm just like, I can just chase it off on my runs. I don't have to really worry about it until you see that tail go up. And I was like, oh shit. I'm only like maybe 20 feet. I'm only 20 feet from it. So I just book it the other way in like a different direction. And that's probably like the fastest I've ran in like 5 years. So that hurt. And that's only like a quarter mile into the run. So then I kind of took a detour to kind of get back on my original route. So then I eventually end up back on the original route, not even like 300 feet from like the original position where I was. There was another damn skunk.
Jesus.
So yeah, at least I'm pretty sure it was a skunk because it did the same damn thing where it lifted the tail. So I'm like, nope. Enough National Geographic for me. I'm gonna turn around and go home. Well, actually, no. So I actually ran away from it. Then I did the stupid backtrack to kind of go home. And I was like, fuck it, 2 skunks, 4 a.m. It's too damn early for this.
That's so a sign.
It's a sign I should just quit. And I'm pretty sure I either ran into a different skunk, a third skunk, or I ran into the original first one on my way back home. So at this point, I'm like scared shitless because I don't need to get sprayed at 4 a.m. So I'm running down like the damn middle of the road at 4:30 a.m. And I'm just like, someone's going to call the cops. Like, I don't need all this shit. So I haven't ran since because of that bullshit. So that's a little fun story for anyone that wants to listen to my life there.
Running's a bad idea, and that just proves it.
100%. This is what, and the funny part was, like, people ask, like, you ran track for like 12 years. I'm like, yeah, I hated every single day of it. And I did hurdles for a reason. I didn't like the running aspect. I like the challenge of hurdles. If there wasn't hurdles, I would not have ran a day in track because, like, when you think about track, it's 100%, like, all practices is conditioning. Like, every other sport had, like, drills and things you practice. No, track is, like, it's all running. Like, there's, like, very little, like, drills aspect to it. Like, the warm-up is the drills, and then you do your conditioning workout, and that's it. And it's terrible. And I don't know why I did it for 12 years, but it is what it is. It's done.
Well, that's like how swimming was for me. Yeah. It was like, do all of that, but holding your breath the whole time.
Oh, God, no. Screw that. I had asthma. Screw that. I was going to die or drown. Drowning is probably more likely scenario. I'm just like, I don't really feel like breathing, so we're going to drown.
There were days that we would hope that we drowned, but.
Yeah. I believe it. So, no, thank you.
All right. I wanted to bring up this this thing I read. I don't remember which day it was, yesterday or the day before, but do you know what CRISPR is?
No, I was going to ask you when you brought it up beforehand. I was supposed to look it up. I forgot.
So CRISPR is like a gene editing tool, and it stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. I hope I said all those words right.
In English.
Basically what it is it's like a DNA editing tool. So okay. It was developed probably, I don't know, like 2012,
okay.
I believe, somewhere around there. And it goes in basically to like your DNA strands and like snips these unique pieces of DNA and replaces them with like a normal repeating sequence. So if there's like a mutation or some kind of something that's off, and I believe you can like teach the CRISPR what to look for. And so the first time, or for the first time, a couple of days ago, the lab, Intellia Therapeutics. I hope I said that right.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know why.
They got the first successful. It's either in utero or in vivo, whatever it is. It's a baby inside a human body. So they were able to re-edit the genes to I'm trying to read this at the same time. So they reduced the amount of harmful liver proteins associated with a genetic nerve disorder in an embryo. Or fetus, whichever, wherever it's at in the stage, doesn't really say. So that has like huge potential within the health field, where you could knock out a lot of genetic diseases without even being born yet.
Okay. That's interesting. Let's say like, that was a lot, and I'm just like trying to process it. So like,
well, yeah, like, and yeah. There's, if you look up, like, describe CRISPR, I know Joe Rogan did a podcast on it forever ago, where he kind of talks about what CRISPR is, and it's kind of scary, because you can do a lot of different things with it, but it also has a lot of good potential, but knowing that people aren't always going to use it for good is a little bit scary.
Yeah, I mean, that's like almost all technology. Like, you can use it, like, you there's like the purpose it was designed for, and then there's the flip side of how you don't see how it could be utilized, and then that's how it goes.
So. Yeah, like in a couple of, well, if it's working now, so in who knows, like 16 years, 18 years, where you see just these super freak athletes coming out of places like Russia, China, and the Olympics, and like people that have just been genetically modified to be Olympic stallions. Like, how is that going to be regulated? Because it's not a steroid, it's not a performance enhancing drug. Like, that's how
technically it's a performance enhancement. I don't know how to like classify it, but it would be a performance enhancement, but like prior to birth. So, like,
right. But how do you check for that?
I feel like there's like there. I mean, when the like, I think like the thing is like technology tends to catch up for it, because like before, like when there's steroids, there really wasn't a way to check for it, and then they developed a way to check for it. So there's probably gonna be a method of some sort that we can't really conceive of now. That'll be caught up, well, like whether it's like birth records or like, because like I feel like anything you do in like the medical field is recorded, so like you can, they can check back whether or not like athletes were genetically enhanced or not. Or what they'll probably do is have like a separate division for like enhanced athletes, so that way like it's the normal class athletes and then the enhanced athletes, so like different divisions for certain things. Otherwise it's like, what's the point?
Because right,
you'll never be able to catch up to that, because they've been rid of all the imperfections of making an athlete. So
yeah, but that's the thing, like when you have like countries like China and Russia where their government is so overbearing, they oversee so much, like that's easily just gone, you know. Sure. Like it's not something that is held onto by a private entity. It's something that like, all right, these are gone, no traceability on this. So, and you think about the money that goes into beating drug tests, like mm-hmm. millions and millions of dollars every year to try to beat those tests. That's why the IOC hangs on to like samples and blood, urine, hair, I don't know what else to hang on to, for like 8 years after that Olympics, because yeah. the tests aren't getting as much funding. They're a lot slower to develop, and the beating the test is so much further ahead.
Yeah. I mean, even if it comes down to years later, they'll figure it out. And then, I mean, it's like whenever there's like tests that like come in, like you said, like years behind the fact, like they'll still take whatever accomplishments away from that individual, assuming they catch them. But like at least it'll catch up. So like whether it's like 20 years down the line or like 5 years down the line, like it'll eventually catch up to them. But granted, like I feel like the one weird thing about like genetic enhancement, that's really not the athlete's fault. That's their parents' fault. So it's really not right. on the athlete. So that's like a whole another moral dilemma. That's another loophole down the line. That's just,
yeah,
that's
they
like
didn't never choose that. Argument.
So yeah, that's why I feel like it would be like a separate class, because it really wouldn't be fair on the athlete, because they didn't cheat. Their parents cheated for them. So it's like, what are they going to do about it? So,
yeah. I don't know. It just, it blows my mind that like, this is the technology that's around now and that we are leaning into it. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, yes, it is a lot of good that could come out of it, but I don't know. We could just be a world of perfect soldiers and crazy athletes.
That would be awesome, but also, like, terrifying. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to. At least we'll be dead before, like, that really affects us.
All right, I got a couple other things I wanted to bring up. So. I know we touched on it probably a bunch of episodes ago. I don't even remember now, but I want to talk about supersets a little bit. So
yeah.
There was a couple of studies I found that were talking about how supersets affect your metabolic rate, and showing that people doing supersets, and this is, do you have it up right now? So you're looking at it.
Yeah, I'm looking it up again. Oh, wait, I lost the tab. No, where did I delete the wrong tab? All right, hold on, I'm looking it up.
So just so that way, you know, if I misspeak, you can tell me that I'm being dumb and correct it. But so the study compared subjects performing a workout with supersets versus straight sets. And some of the findings were that using a superset, it looks like they were able to burn what, like 2 or 3 more calories per minute in that workout.
Mm-hmm.
And then minute due to training style. Oh, so that's just saying supersets or straight sets. Is that how you're reading that?
So wait, which, remind me which study you're pulling up. I'm looking at.
So I'm looking at the second one there. So supersets and metabolism.
Wait, did you send a link? Because I do not see a link.
No, it's a screenshot. Scroll down past the first one there.
I don't see anything.
Are you in the Google Doc?
Oh, you're in the Google Doc. I'm looking at the stupid group chat. That's why I was confused.
No, okay, no. Hold on. Go to the Google Doc.
All right. Give me a second. The ball out one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll say next episode notes.
Yeah. Okay. that would make a whole lot more sense. I'm just sitting here like, think I'm stupid. I'm like, okay, I'm scrolling and scrolling and cannot find it. All right. Yeah, I see it.
All right. So what this is showing is that using supersets allowed you to burn about 2 more calories per minute. Mm-hmm. And then when you use supersets, it leads to a shorter workout because you're getting your workouts all in at, you know, without that minimal or with that minimal rest. So your overall calories burned isn't too much higher. So yeah. I'm seeing about what, maybe a 240 calories burned using supersets and maybe a 225, maybe 220 for straight sets, which makes sense. But cramming that all in is good and bad. Like, like we were talking about, like me moving my stuff to mornings, I've incorporated some more supersets because I have to be done at a certain time if I'm going to shower, get ready for work, pack my lunch and get to work on time. Mm-hmm. So when I look at my watch and it's 5:30, like, okay, shit, I got to get in the shower. Got to wrap this up quick.
Yeah.
And then
I thought you were done.
No, go ahead. I was going to scroll down to the next one.
Okay, so what I usually tell my member to my gym, because like I'll usually tell them how I used to work out versus how I've been doing the workouts from work, because the workouts from my job is high intensity boot camp, so it's like 45 minutes, just cram pack a lot of stuff within the 45 minutes. And a lot of the ladies used to be like, okay, what if I work out longer? Like, what is 45 minutes enough? Like, I know that, because they know based on what I used to do, it's like 2-3 hour workouts, based on what I do. And they're like, well, if you're doing 2-3 hour workouts versus 45 minutes, like, what's the difference? And he's like, reminded to tell them, like, the duration of the workout doesn't really matter within the workouts, what you do within the workout. So if you do a jam-packed 45 minutes, you can still burn the same amount of calories within 2-3 hours. Because, like, basically what I'm doing in 2-3 hours, I'm adding cardio. I'm taking a lot more rest when I'm doing the lifting portion. And then I'm doing, this, like, the recovery aspect as well. So within all in all, it takes about 2-3 hours to do all about that, do all that the way I normally would do it, but for someone that doesn't have that amount of time and can only do the lifting portion of what I do, then cramming all that into 45 minutes is ideal, because again, you're still burning the same amount of calories, similar amount of calories based on that study, and you're still doing productive amount of work, you're still getting a good pumping, you're still getting the cardiovascular aspect to it, you're still getting the muscular contractions and everything with that, so you're still able to get the same amount of purpose, function, benefits. I think that's the word I'm going for, benefits out of it. So you really don't have to worry about the time crunch of it. So just do whatever works best for your schedule. So if you can only do 45 minutes of workout, do 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, do what you can. For those you get to have more time, then yeah, you can spread it out, focus a little bit more on strength, get a little bit more recovery. So that way you're doing a little bit more productive in terms of strength. But it really depends on what your goal is and what you're trying to accomplish. So if you're just trying to get general fitness in, just want to get a quick workout in, then yeah, cram it in 45 minutes. But if you're going for a little bit more performance aspect, you might need a little bit more time than the 45 minutes.
Yeah. And that's where that was my inspiration to getting up early, is that like when I get home, I only have, let's see, if I get home at like 5 o'clock, and then if the kids are in bed by 8 o'clock, bless you, that's only 3 hours I can spend, where one, if I take away one of those hours to be working out, it's worth like sacrificing that hour in the morning, get the workout in quick, and then I get to spend that whole 3 hours at home and being able, like today, did my 45 or whatever in the morning, got home, ate food, and then we went on a walk. So I ended up doing a double dip anyway. Whereas if that was a normal day, that would have been probably my only workout for the day. It was just a quick 25 minute walk. So it's nice. It makes me feel like I'm doing good, but yeah, it's worth it. And I hope the more I do it, the more I can do it consecutive days without feeling like I want to die at work.
Yeah, I mean, I know the feeling. I did legs today, and I think I did it at, well, here's where I start off bad. So I forgot to eat breakfast. Well, not that I forgot. I was in bed, and I just didn't want to get up. So I didn't eat breakfast this morning. And then I'm at work until like 11, and then I did my workout around 11, and then like started getting real tired because I didn't eat beforehand. So around 1 o'clock when I'm like done, and I'm doing legs. So like we did squats, RDLs, like hamstring curls, like all this stuff. And by the time I got done, I barely could finish walking at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And then I get home and I sit down, took a nap, get up, cramped. The worst I've cramped in like years, because all I did was like move my leg to get out of bed and just like locked up. So now I'm actually nervous getting up from the chair because it's tight, it's bad. Like I stretched afterwards, I thought I'd be good. I don't think so. It's gonna be a bad time getting out of the chair.
Yeah, I know. I just said that I cut back my caffeine intake, but because I was up so early this morning, I did take some pre workout and it was actually clutch. I had so. You ever heard of Steel supplements?
Yes.
So they sent me like a little goodie bag, like this shirt.
It
says Alpha, even though Sage made fun of me and said it's super beta to wear a shirt that says Alpha. I said, whatever, it's a free shirt. Leave me alone.
I don't blame you. No. She's not wrong, but I know, don't blame you either.
I know. And it was like, I didn't pick the shirt, but it's actually super nice. This is extra large. It's really comfortable, but like it's tight on my arms. So I was like, this is a great marketing technique because now my arms feel huge and I'm going to want to keep going with these supplements. But anyway, they sent me like 5 little samples of their pre-workout. So I had to take one earlier before our walk. And that way I'm more awake and lively during this recording.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good. I mean, like, I always tell people, like, if you know you're like a super caffeine person, like, if you dwindle it down and then you take caffeine again, like you're more receptive to that caffeine versus the constant need to get more and more and more. The more you do, the less it's like any drug, not that I would know, but like any drug. And the more I promise I am sober as can be. Alcohol is a different story. Drugs, I'm good. But yeah, it's like the more you take of it, the less of a reaction you get. Especially like that first high you get, it's gonna be amazing. But you're always gonna be chasing that high, so you're never gonna get as good as you can. So the less caffeine you utilize, the more effective it will be when you do utilize it. Hence why I don't use caffeine like 99% of the time. Tournaments, different story, but like everything else, I don't really use caffeine.
Yeah, this long weekend going for the 4th of July, I'm gonna try to do a little caffeine fast, maybe have a cup of coffee, but because we're going up north, and that's why Caleb isn't here. For everyone listening, Caleb is up north with his family enjoying the beginning of his 4th of July weekend, because today's the first, and this will be coming out after the 4th of July weekend. So Caleb is already enjoying it, but when we go up north, we're gonna kind of get away, and I'm not gonna be working out, and I'm gonna try to just really crank down that caffeine.
Good luck. I know you've tried that before and have failed every time, so hopefully you can actually be successful in the fast.
Yeah, I can't pack it. That's gonna be the big thing, is I'm gonna want to be like, you know what, just in case, you never know. Like a real addict.
Yeah. It's like you can't, like, what's it called? You gotta keep it out the house. You can't have it on you. So that'll help. But you also like gotta be careful when you're driving. I don't know how far you're driving, but like however far you're going, like avoid stops that can give you that
like
rush.
3 or 4 hours, I think. Probably 3.
Okay. So yeah, that'll be a rough drive then.
Yeah.
Are you driving in the morning or the afternoon?
Afternoon.
Yeah, that can still suck. You get sleepy around that. So like, yeah, it depends.
I just have to power through it. But
I mean, the kids will probably keep you wide awake the whole time. Screaming the whole time, probably.
Yeah, right. They'll fall asleep and then wake up there and be all excited.
There we go.
But I wanted to bring up, it's kind of in the same vein of getting workouts done quickly with the supersets, is at-home machines and where you see their success going now that everything's starting to open back up. Like when everything first started to lock down, things were closing, things like Peloton, things like or companies like Rogue, PRX, Nordic, all those guys were selling out of equipment like crazy. Like I know Peloton had to end up buying like 2 new warehouses just to keep up with demand. So where do you we'll start there first. Where do you think that that trajectory for those types of equipment's going to go after things open back up?
I mean, there's definitely going to be a decline. Now, how sharp of a decline? That's going to be the question. Like, I feel like at-home equipment goes through kind of like this kind of pattern. I don't really know, like wave pattern, where like it, every few years it gets spikes, and then every few years it drops. Like, I think it's whether it's like the economy or whether it's, I know I heard the whole millennial argument about how they're like specializing in specific gyms versus using general gyms, kind of like what like LA Fitnesses, where like they have everything you need there. They're going to more like boot camps, or they're more going to like
boxing,
they're going to specialized gyms. Group classes versus going to like general workouts. So like I think every like 10 years or so, the fitness world goes through like kind of a shift in terms of what the clientele want or whatever. I think it's like the new whatever like the new young people generation is, that's where like the fitness world tends to shift towards. So it's kind of hard to say, because I feel like home equipment, I mean, like I remember what was it, like the '90s, the Bowflex, that was a big thing. And now it's like, I haven't heard Bowflex in like easily over 15 years. And my dad still has, I mean, he doesn't have a Bowflex, but he still had all the equipment from like the '90s. So like,
dude, everybody got a Bowflex back then. Yeah.
I do remember those Bowflex commercials. Honestly, those Bowflex commercials made me want to get one. I was like six. So like,
doesn't really matter. Like, I want to be jacked. That guy's jacked. Mom, I want a Bowflex.
I just wanted it because like I saw the guy like bending it. I'm like, I want to bend metal. But I think it was around the time I started getting really into superheroes. And I was like, ooh, bending metal sounds cool. So I think that's right about that time. But yeah, like, I mean, the thing is, like, most people, unless you got a ton of money, once you buy workout equipment, you don't really buy a whole new set unless it breaks or you really think you need a new set. So like, unless you're loaded with money, you're not constantly like refreshing your home gym equipment. Cause like I said, my dad either does one, two things. He either like keeps the same equipment or he goes to garage sales and buy people's equipment that they don't want anymore.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to see the whole at home companies that are like developing all these equipment like staying steady. Like, I know they're definitely a plateau and they're definitely a drop at some point, but how sharp that decline is going to really depend on like marketing, how hard they can push it. Like even taking the equipment out of like the realm, like even like at home, like workout, like programs like Beachbody, like I think they're going to have a decline as well. Cause people are gonna be like, oh, I can go back to my regular gym. I can go back outside. I can go do whatever it is I was doing before. Like, some people probably stick to it because, like, some people got in that routine of, like, enjoying it at home. But since most people are going to be going back to work, the at-home workouts aren't going to work for their schedule as well anymore because they're not going to be at home already. So most people are going to be like, okay, if I have to go to work, I'll probably stop by the gym on my way home versus come home, get comfortable, and then not do the workout because you're tired from work and everything. So, like, I know that's one of the biggest sales tactics I use, because a lot of people are like, well, I could do the workouts at home, but as soon as I get home, I get sidetracked with whatever that to do at home. I have to cook. My kids get in the
cooking,
way.
Cooking, dishes, responsibilities, cleaning, whatever.
Bills, like all of those random things at home. But when you're out and about the house, you don't really think about all that stuff. So you're just like, okay, go to work, get my workout in, come home, then deal with all that crap. So it's a little bit easier for most people to manage when they're outside the house. So I think, like, at-home gym equipments are going to suffer, or companies like that are going to suffer. Like, programming companies are going to suffer, like Beachbody.
Yeah.
I don't really know any other ones outside of Beachbody. But, like, there's a ton of those that are going to – the fitness world, yeah, like I said, you see, go through that shift, and it's just going to be interesting to see where that shift leads to.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I think it's going to be hard for – like, because I know Peloton's – and I don't know if Nordic does this or not, but they have that like subscription model where like first they sell you the piece of equipment and then they have the subscription. So they might be able to hang on with that subscription because they already sold them the bike. Now they're just living off of that subscription that's continuing every month.
Yeah.
But if somebody's, you know, going out and, you know, I'm going to go outside and ride my bike because one, it's nice out. Two, you know, everything's starting to open back up. This might be the time if you're looking for a very cheap Peloton or treadmill or something that somebody bought at the peak mm-hmm. of wanting it and now realizing yep. that they're not using it. Like, this might be a big time for secondhand stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, the garage sales will do you wonders, especially as people are getting older. They're like, okay, I'm not using this as much. I'm going to get rid of it because it's just taking up space. They might buy new stuff, whatever it is. But they're, like you said, they're going to be getting rid of it because there's no longer a need for it. So it's definitely a good time to get it, especially for those of you guys that don't want a full-on gym membership, but like rather work out at home. Perfect time, because especially like if you get a bike, that's a great way to get a workout in. Like, it's a great way to get cardio in. It's a great way to work the legs. And if, I mean, depending on how big your apartment is, it doesn't take up a lot of space versus like a full-on Bowflex. Like, that takes up a crap ton of space, or even weights, because I know some people bought weights. Where like, because I had a friend of mine who's a nurse. And he set up his own squat rack in his apartment, which I thought was insane. Like, it was the most, like, raggedy thing you could ever see. But, like, it was functional for at least, like, the whole COVID lockdown. So, I was like, you know what? Kudos to you, man. He made it out of cement. Or he made his weights out of cement. I don't know what he used for a bar. But, like, he brought all this stuff and then made a raggedy, like, squat rack. And it was pretty much functional. He couldn't do, like, super heavy stuff, obviously. But for the most part, it was, like, functional. It's like, and that's like dedication that I don't have.
Making it happen.
I mean, I was at home, so I couldn't really do it anyway. But like, that's a whole new level of like intensity where I strive to go for.
Yeah. And have you heard of these companies like, you ever heard of Tonal? Tonal? Yes. Yeah. It's like the mounted on the wall with like the cable arms. And there's like a bench that folds out, and
yeah. I've seen that. Yeah,
I think where something like that, if depending on your COVID mm-hmm. feeling or how open you are to getting back out into public, like those might still hang on for a little while, and I think that there's going to be a big opportunity for like the group fitness classes that are outdoors. Mm-hmm. I think there's, and this is something that I actually considered today, was like being the summertime, like people are already asking like, hey, can we come work out at your gym? That whatever, that's fine. But doing like across the street's a huge field. Mm-hmm. For me, like there's baseball fields over there, like, hey, $20, come on over, we'll do like a boot camp outside.
Yeah,
people want to be around other people because they haven't been for so long. Mm-hmm. People want to get exercising, and if it's a low commitment, like it can even be $10, whatever, like for that quick hour workout, feel good about themselves, they're not committed to anything, it's just show up, do it, go home.
I remember when like our gym was at risk to shut it down, and since it was during like the spring summertime, a lot of my members were like, hey, if our gym shut down, will you be willing to do like workouts outside? Like a group of us will come in and do whatever we got to do to keep our workouts going. They liked me as a trainer, and they liked the workouts that we do. So they're just like, hey, we're willing to like open up our own personal backyard, have a group of show up, and I just show up to their backyard. So it wasn't even like, that's low risk for me. So I just show up wherever I need to. He's like, hey, boom, let's get this done. So I know like if there is the drive for people to do, still continue going. It's a matter of where that energy can they get that outlet, and where can they drive it into it. So whether it's using, you know, at home equipment, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's coming up with new avenues of working out, like so outside, or just mm-hmm. working together in groups, partners outside, run, whatever it is. Like I know some people are starting to train for events like triathlons or going for 5Ks or whatever it is. Like people have the energy now, they have the drive to get something going, just no matter where it's gonna go.
Yeah, and I think, and I know I've heard it a lot too, people that are like, I put on weight during COVID, like, and I want to start getting back out there. Like I need to drop this COVID weight. So there's going to be, I think, big uptick in, like you said, already moving towards those group classes, things to kind of the alternative style of gyms mm-hmm. where the Lifetimes, the Planets, the Crunch 24, whatever, all those like big box gyms are probably going to suffer a little bit more than your independent studios, even mm-hmm. where you maybe have two or three people training in there at a time. It's going to be a cool shift because hopefully gym bros just kind of stay doing their thing at big boxes and don't keep trying to bring people to the dark side, even though, you know, it is a fun side, but
it is a fun side. Well, I will say, like, for a new person, going to independent gyms are probably the better option because yeah. when you go to like those big box gyms, you're by yourself. You don't know what you're doing. So unless you have a friend that knows what they're doing and can help you along the process, or you're brave enough to ask someone at the gym, like one of those gym bros, like, hey, can you help me out? Like a new person, like I say, at least I used to see it all the time when I was working in one of those gyms, is that new person walks in, the first thing they do is scan the whole gym, be like, where do I start? And yep. sometimes, like, some people are like smart, they use YouTube to kind of get an idea or do some research to help them get something going. Or what my favorite is, they'll go up the machine, read the little description, and try to like replicate it. And that's my favorite part, because like some of them just like sit there for like 10 minutes, like, what?
And they you using this or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just fun. Like, it's just watching them figure out the whole gym lingo, the etiquette, the spacing, everything, timing, like watching all that, watching them break that down. That's a lot of information for a new person to get on the first couple yeah. days, first couple weeks. And like slowly, the more you go, the more you kind of intricate you get. But with independent gyms, there's really no, well, there's etiquette, but there's really no like learning curve. You just kind of show up. The trainer there usually tells you what to do. They kind of help you get introduced. And then the members there are usually a lot more welcoming because they know what it's like. And they kind of just walk them through and they kind of like, hey, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. They yeah. just jump you in and everything gets all set up. So the new person really gets the whole welcome parade as they come in. It's great. So like that whole big boss gym, the only welcoming parade is like, hey, you pay for this membership. Welcome to your first day. And here you go. This is all you get. So it's a very different atmosphere in terms of like starting when you're brand new.
Yeah. But I know a lot of those big boxes do offer like a free session with
sometimes
a trainer. Yeah. yeah sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's not like, it's not something where like once you sign up, you set that time. It's like, mm-hmm. come in and ask.
Yeah.
And whoever the trainer gets stuck doing it, doesn't want to be doing it because they're not getting paid for that hour. It's just pro bono.
So what it is, like I remember doing it. It's not that it was awful. So the way LA Fitness did it, it was actually kind of nice. So what it was is it was still free for the member, but I still got paid for it. So it was kind of nice, but it still sucked. So the way it works is it's kind of like a way for the trainer to kind of sell themselves. So you can try to sell them personal training. Yep. I really didn't like doing that because not everyone needs personal training or wants it. So it was just like kind of like talking to a wall sometimes, or some people are really interested and like wanted it, but like not everyone needs or wants personal training, which is why I didn't really like doing it, because it's kind of like forcing the person to really like do personal training and you may not need it. Like,
yeah, it's a hard sell.
Yeah. Like you might need it for a couple weeks just to get your feet wet. But then once you kind of get going, you really may not need it. So I wish they had like an intro. I wish like big boss gyms had like an intro class to like gym to like help you figure out what movements are, exercises are, muscles are, and then general gym etiquette, and then send them on the way. If they want to continue with personal training, great. If they don't, that's fine. Like, yeah. it's whatever they need. Like, that's why I like independent gyms, because like I work in one. So like the first day. Actually, even the first couple of days, I have to keep an eye on them, make sure they know what they're doing. I have to walk them through exercises. I have to make sure that they, if they're struggling with something, I have to go over, check on them, make sure they're okay. But half the time, like the members do that for me. I don't have to do half the work.
Right.
I just have to make sure they don't hurt themselves or aren't completely confused, because usually, like for most part, they can kind of follow along. And I can check on them every few workouts. Like, hey, you doing all right? Got questions? Come feel me, ask me. Blah 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 blah. So they always have constantly under attention. But with big boss gyms, you're on your own. Like, unless mm-hmm. you're doing something where the trainers are kind of nervous about you possibly hurting yourself and they don't want to have to fill out an incident report, then like that's a different story. But like usually you're on your own. And then unless you have some nice what's a good Samaritan that wants to help you out, then you're by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. We could go down a ton of rabbit holes with this.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
But
I'm good on that.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll save that for a whole episode. But yeah, I think especially us being people that live in the north and experience winter, it might be a good time to pick up like a winter cardio machine. Oh, so yeah. I might keep an eye out, see if, you know, Peloton bike pops up or rowing machine or just check every once in a while. Yeah. So that way when it gets cold out and, you know, we're all training for Dodgeball 2022, we got that cardio in.
I actually might, even though I have a gym and I have the keys to the gym, so I can go whenever I want. That actually would not be a terrible idea, because I know there are days where I just want to go home and just not move. And I'll tell myself I'll do a workout at home, which almost never happens. So having a bike would not be a terrible idea. So I might, once I get more money, that's what I'll probably invest in stuff like that.
I thought about, well, I don't know. I won't get into it. I did want to bring up, though, something that I know I touched on with you earlier. So I talked to Tom Wakefield. He messaged me on Facebook. Apparently, when we talked about the FTC, we had talked about it. I don't even remember how long ago, but he said that we said it was in Houston. It's not in Houston. It's in Dallas. Dallas,
right? Yeah. I should have known that, because I'm going to the derby, so I don't know how I messed that up. So my bad, Tom.
So wanted to make sure that was all cleared up. But he's super interested in us doing something to help promote each other, do it, and potentially getting down there. And I think it'd be really cool, even though, you know, not the biggest foam advocate, but I do like dodgeball. So I'm down to check it out. See, I told him, send me more details and we can try to make that happen.
Yeah, I know I'm definitely going, because I got it recorded by Yoshio, who's on, oh god, what's the team name? I should know this information. They changed the name. They changed their name, so that's why I forgot what the current name is. But they used to be Balls Deep, but I remember they wanted to change their names. I cannot remember. I think it's I'm not even gonna guess, because I know that's the wrong name. So I'll correct it for the next episode, because I cannot bring it up off the top of my head right now.
Fair enough. I know that there's some more smaller dodgeball going on. I know who did I see post Ketchum, and I'm not gonna.
So I have a list of the team they're going for that tournament
to the FTC.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was just talking about more dodgeball that's happened.
There was a tournament in Arizona.
Joe
DeFuria, I think is his last name. Yeah, Joe DeFuria. Yeah. He ran that tournament. It was interesting from what I heard, because apparently like only the top four teams out of round robin were able to do elimination. So it's a different format. So it's a different format. So I don't know how many teams were there, but
so was bracket was probably way quicker.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I don't know how many divisions they did, but I think I want to say it was a co-ed tournament. So it was probably only
it was. One division. Okay. Yeah. And I think that they only did no sting foam and I think maybe cloth. I think that was what he had posted. If we're getting all of this wrong, Joe, please feel free to call us out.
I only knew about this tournament. I knew about the tournament like months ago, but it was more like an idea months ago. So I didn't know he was actually like running the tournament, because I haven't heard anything since, surprisingly. And I was a little upset, because I was like, I wanted to go, but I already went to like two tournaments in the same month. So I can't go to three in a month. That's pushing it a little bit.
Is Pukinik doing a third?
Yeah, they're going to do a third. I don't know what the date is. I want to say it's July. Like, let me look at the dates right now. So if I were to look in July, I want to say it's the 17th, I think, or the 24th.
That seems so quick.
Yeah, I know. It's like one a month. So it's kind of like how Elite did it. It's like once a month.
Yeah.
So it just seems quick for us, because we haven't had dodgeball in like 2 years.
That's
so it
true.
It seems so fast. So. Yeah,
it is very exciting. I'm really glad to see dodgeball coming back. People start to think about dodgeball coming back, people getting excited for it. And I know that behind the scenes, we have a lot of big plans coming up for dodgeball. I know other people have a lot of big plans for dodgeball. So I think that 2022 is going to be a good year, and I think there's going to be a lot of growth for dodgeball.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the hope. That's the dream, is growth and figuring out where we are involved in that growth. That is the plan. So let's see how it goes.
I hope all of it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We finance everything. We are sponsors for everything. That is the dream one day.
We're going to own dodgeball. Sorry, USA Dodgeball. Sorry, Jake.
That's fine.
It's just going to be ball out dodgeball for everyone.
I am so down for this. Let's please make it happen.
All right, man. That's all I have. Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
No, I feel like you had one other thing to bring up. I can't remember what it was.
I feel like I did. I always do that. I hate looking at my phone during the episodes, and that's where I keep all my notes, and I don't.
Yeah, I try to put, I figured out a way to connect my phone to the computer, so it makes it look like I'm on my computer versus on my phone, which helps.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you already brought up the Dallas tournament, so you're good then. That's all we got then.
All right, perfect. Cool. Make sure that if you haven't already, go check out Nagini Brands and buy some of their buddies, some of their single wraps, and use code BALLOUT15 to save some money. Mm-hmm. I still haven't used them for foam. You like them for foam. So if maybe we'll see, because they're based in, I think, in Austin.
I know they did events in LA, so I want to say LA, but I don't know. So we can ask her about that.
I thought Austin, but if we're going to Dallas, I don't know how far that is. Texas is huge, so
yeah,
maybe we can do some kind of partnership there and get everybody to check them out, try them out, and
yeah.
Again, NaginiBrands.com. Use code BALLOUT15 to save some money. Am I forgetting anything?
No, I would say the only thing I'm gonna add to that is, if you guys know about upcoming tournaments, let us know. Especially if you want to shout them out, we could do recaps on them if you guys want. We can just get more people informed, because again, the more people that are informed, more people that are willing to go, because we've all been pent up for the last 2 years playing dodgeball or not playing dodgeball. So we all want to get that mm-hmm. urge to get it out. So again, with the whole USA announcement last week or a week or two ago, however long that was ago. People are excited about dodgeball again, so they want to start training. Yeah. The best way to train outside of actually training for it is to play dodgeball, to not only get back into the rhythm, but get those skills back that have been on the shelf and real dusty over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, again, tournaments that are happening, let us know if you want to, I guess, free advertising, I guess is the best way to describe it. And just shout out, we'll shout out your tournament, let people know what's going on, and we're hopefully everyone get informed and get ready to go.
Yeah, preferably give us a couple of weeks so we can get it in a couple episodes, so that way mm-hmm. people can still sign up by the time that we're pumping it up. And don't be afraid to shamelessly plug yourself. Come on to the show. If you were at the tournament, we'd love to hear from you. So just shoot us a message. Say, hey, I was at this tournament. I know you guys want to probably talk about it. I'm available whenever, and we can have you on.
Yeah,
it's been a while since we've had a guest.
Yeah, no, it's a little too long. But like that doesn't only mean tournaments. Like any dodgeball news, we'll shout it out if we think it's, I don't want to say worth our time, because that sounds real bougie. But like if it's valuable, if we believe it's valuable for the community, we'll shout it out.
Love it.
Yeah, I promise we're not bougie. We're doing this from our homes. We keep. I mean, Brett might be bougie, like his setup's all bougie, like. But
listen, I still got plans. All right.
I mean, I do too. It's a matter of finances. Finances would hold me back like 90% of the time. But it's like anything with dodgeball news related content. Let us know, whether it's tournaments, whether it's upcoming products that you might have, or whatever it is. Like, we want to know about it, we want to share it, we want to grow dodgeball the best we know how, which is through Ball Out. So let us know. Okay,
love it. So make sure, on that note, follow us on everything social. If you haven't seen any of the YouTube clips yet, go check them out. Some of them are pretty funny. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, the website. I guess we haven't said it in a while, but if you guys are interested in helping us out, you know, if you are a social media person or you are a website person and want to help us out, we would love to help. Again, I've said it before, I'm just a jock that likes talking about working out, not really a tech guy.
Yeah.
I try hard, but it's not always effective. So
yep.
If you guys want to, if you think that we are in need, which we are, please reach out to us. We'd love your help. Yeah, but that's all I got, man.
It's a great resume builder. Like, we'll shout you out. If you need a job, we'll give you a good referral and everything. So, like, help us help you. We can do this together.
Yeah. Ask Caleb. We're pretty cool. All right, man. I'm good if you're good.
I'm good.
All right. We out.